Father, may my words and all of our thoughts be true and uplifting in your sight and within your love. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please sit. I don't know if you remember how you became a Christian, or when you became a Christian. Whether there was a particular moment when your view of the world was changed by God, or whether you spent your whole life knowing and trusting in God, gradually deepening that faith and growing in maturity and strength. We come to faith in different ways. For Paul, who we regard as the author of that letter, then coming to faith was a sudden change, a moment on the Damascus Road when he met Jesus in a vision and his life was turned around. Now, for some Christians, that's seen almost as the only way to become a real Christian, to have a moment of conversion when you know that you turned to Jesus. Often it goes with an admission that you've been living away from God and a real sense of God's forgiveness. And if you're not sure that you are a Christian, or you're finding your way into faith for the first time, then this is the way that God has ahead for you. He longs for you to know the freedom of living within his love. And please, if you'd like to know more about what that means, talk to me at the end of the service. Or just fill in one of the welcome cards in the pews and tick that you'd like me to get in touch. That's often what people call being born again as a Christian. But the reality is that every Christian is born again. And that includes people like Timothy. Now, Timothy was one of the first generation of Christians to be born into Christian families, to be raised from childhood as a follower of Jesus. His mother and his grandmother passed on the faith that was alive in them. And of course, they remind us of the importance of the family as the place where we still learn best to love and to serve God. So Paul had a moment when his life turned around. Timothy grew into the faith of his mother and his grandmother as part of his learning and growing. And the point that is behind the passage that Jan read to us is that whether you can remember the moment you became a Christian or not, what matters is what you're doing with that faith now. It's not how you got to where you are, it's where you're going. Because Paul goes on, having spoken of the real faith in which Timothy has grown, to tell him to rekindle the gift of God that is within him through the laying on of Paul's hands. Now, Timothy, by this point, was the priest of a church, perhaps the bishop of Ephesus, a fairly major city, although he was just about 30. Paul had laid hands on him to pray for him, to ordain and commission him as a priest, to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in strength for Timothy's ministry. But we know that quite often Timothy was discouraged and doubted that he was the man that God had called. So on one level, Paul's words are a challenge to those in church leadership. And I probably need to tell you that I wrote two sermons this week on this passage. The first one was for myself, because there are things that I've needed to hear from this, and I needed to preach that sermon to myself before I could work out the one to preach to you. I'm not sure I've heard the sermon I preached to myself yet. I try to listen, as I'm sure that all of you do, but it's not always easy. But what does it mean to all of us as a church in this place to rekindle the gift of faith within us? The starting point is the question that God puts to all of us now. However you became a Christian, I'm getting a signal from the back that seems to be up a bit, is that? However you became a Christian, then what matters is what you're doing with your faith now. How are you nurturing your faith? How are you helping that faith to grow and to shape your life? What are you doing now, this week, that will make you a better disciple of Jesus? Because we're meant to be continually growing into the likeness of Christ. Not sitting back and letting it happen. Growing. Whatever our story may be so far, we all have a personal responsibility to keep growing into the likeness of Jesus. And we don't do it on our own. For start, we've got each other. We're a group of Christian brothers and sisters in this place. And in particular, within that family, Claire and I have a particular calling to help you all to grow in discipleship with Jesus. But more importantly, God is already within you. The flame of his Spirit may be burning brightly, or it may be a smoldering ember, but God is there in your heart. And Paul reminds us of four things about what it means to receive the gift of God's Spirit. First, he reminds us what God's Spirit is not. God's Spirit is not a spirit of cowardice. Paul needs to tell Timothy this because sometimes following Jesus is difficult and scary. In this country, we don't suffer real persecution, whatever some people might like to say. In Pakistan, Iraq, Afghanistan, North Korea, there our sisters and brothers in Christ know that being a Christian puts your life at risk. Not here. We do have to face ridicule, polite or otherwise, misunderstanding, opposition, and yes, occasionally some mild but real discrimination because of our faith. But what's harder is the day-to-day reality of when living for Jesus leads us to make decisions that have a real cost to us and to those people that we love. Decisions about our time, about our money, our work, even where we live. It takes courage to face those things, to be where we should be and who we should be for God, even when it's tough. And we depend upon God to provide that courage. So God does not give us a spirit of cowardice. And we need his courage. So first, Paul's told us what God does not give us. Second, third, and fourth, he tells us what God's Spirit at work in us is. First, God gives us a spirit of power. Now, this is not the kind of power that overwhelms people, that forces them to do our will. It's the kind of power that gives us the strength to achieve more with God's help and for God than we would ever have dreamed possible. To reach beyond our own capabilities. It's been said that the only actions that really speak of faith in God are those actions, A, which make no sense if God isn't real, because they cost us too much and benefit only others, and B, those actions which we begin knowing that unless God gets involved along the way, what we are doing will be impossible, because the task is so far out of our own comfort zone that we'll never get there without him. And the strength to begin and complete those things, great things for God, is the power of God at work within us, the power of his Spirit. And then Paul says that the Spirit is a spirit of love. Love is the strength to love people, whether we like them or not. You may find it reassuring. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you've got to like everybody. It just says you've got to love them. You can't make yourself like someone, but you can make yourself love them. Just because you know that Jesus loves them, as awkward as they are, just as much as he loves you, as awkward as you are. Love is the strength to behave towards other people, as Jesus would if he were in our place. And it's the supreme hallmark of Christian character. Do we love those who deserve our love and love those who don't? And what do we do about that love? Because Christian love is not about nice warm feelings. It's about action for the sake of others, in prayer and in deed. And it's God's Spirit within us who gives us the capacity to love beyond our own ability, to love those who are not lovable, and to love them because God loves them. So two great things that God's Spirit gives us, power and love. And at first, when you've heard those two and celebrated God's gift, it feels like a bit of a come down to come to the third thing that Paul talks about, a spirit of love, of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Now, I know I want power. Who doesn't? I know I want love. Who doesn't? Self-discipline? Sounds a bit like being on a diet. But the reality is that it is God's gift of self-discipline which allows us to grow in the power and love of Jesus. Because self-discipline is the strength from God to live day by day by what we believe to be right and true. Traditionally, the church has been clear about what have been called the means of grace, the resources and disciplines that God gives us to grow in strength and in faith. Usually there are five that are mentioned. The first is public worship, especially meeting God in the Word of God, the Bible, and the sacraments as we share them together. And our determination and our discipline of being here Sunday by Sunday to worship God together is part of the resource and strength for our growth as Christians and so as people. And alongside that public worship, when we come together, is our personal prayer. And being disciplined and deliberate in setting aside time to pray each day, to listen to God and to pray for his world, is the second means of grace, the ways in which we grow in discipline. And along with that, as we hear the Bible read in church, so we read the Bible for ourselves at home, reading it carefully and allowing God to speak to us and shape us through what he says. And fourth, playing a part in the life and the work of the church, making our own contribution, yes, in money, but more importantly, through our service, through finding our role as part of this body. And last and importantly, serving God in the world outside the church by our care for others, by our involvement in working for what is right. So public worship, private prayer, study of the Bible, playing our part in church and out there in the world, and doing these things deliberately with a view to how we will grow as human beings. This is all part of growing self-discipline. Now, I know that many of you, a bit more than a year ago, took one of these rule of life cards that the bishop provided. If you did, I hope you can still find it. And it may be a good time to look back at it again and see whether you need to update it. For those of you who didn't, there are a few on the table at the back of church. Do take one. In here, there are some ideas for things to commit yourself to about prayer and worship, about growing in your understanding of God, about caring for the world and its people. Things to take on as a discipline and a commitment that will help you to grow in God's self-discipline. For whatever your story has been so far, however you've come to where you are now in faith and life, the choice now is whether or not you'll take your faith on to the next level, whatever that may be for you. It's all about working with God to become who you can be. And maybe the right next step for you is to join one of the discussion groups that we offer. This Thursday and next, we're starting just a couple of sessions. I'm just calling Everyday Theology. How to understand the world around us through God's eyes. Thursday evening, 7:30. Or join the START course in November to look afresh at the basics of faith. Or do something that will mean you are a better disciple of Jesus, say by the time we get to Christmas, than you are now. Because the choice is a choice of spirit. And it's stark. Will you choose the spirit of cowardice? Of drifting through life at the mercy of whatever the world throws at you? Making excuses for yourself when you fail to live up to God's call? Or will you choose to live seriously for God with a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline? And yes, you will still fail. But if you follow this way, then each time you fail, you'll learn, and with God's help, you'll rise up stronger. Which spirit do you choose? In a moment, I'm going to say a prayer to ask God to help us to choose that second spirit. So I invite you, let's be still together for a moment. And I ask you to ask yourself whether you're ready to join me in the Amen at the end of this prayer. Let's be still. Father God, thank you for calling me to follow your Son, Jesus, and through him to become your child. Rekindle in me the flame of your Spirit. Free me from all that holds me back. Help me to rejoice in the gift of your Spirit, of power, of love, and of self-discipline, to become more truly a disciple of Jesus, your Son, my Lord, my brother, my master, and friend. Amen.